This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths, or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Obviously, really regrettable moment. It's a shame that it happened that way. Of course, I didn't hang the jersey, but I'm ultimately responsible for everything that happens in this building. And ultimately, that means that was on me tonight. We need to make sure that we understand that in life, mistakes happen, but there are also certain moments where mistakes can't happen. And tonight, we stole that moment from Terrence.
Welcome back in Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Wiederer here, Mark Grody. I am here as well. We are in today for Spiegel and Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and we are happy to talk a little bit of Illini buckets here. You just heard the Illini highlight, or I guess low light, with Josh Whitman, the athletic director of at the University of Illinois, talking, and now joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline is Jeremy Werner. He covers the Illini for 24/7 Sports. Jeremy, what's going on, man?
Doing well, Mark. How are you, man?
We are doing really well. Not only, I guess we should start right there, since we just heard the clip coming in from Josh Whitman, and a little bit of a, I will call it a sports tragedy, with the banner being hung upside down. I'm sure that's been the talk of the town. What did you make of that whole thing?
Yeah, it was a terrible, very no good day for Illinois basketball. Yeah. They not only hung the banner of Terrence Shannon and botched that by having it upside down, but then they blew a 16-point lead to Michigan State and didn't score in the last 8 minutes and 30 seconds. And now we learn Merez Johnson Jr., Chicagoland native there, broke his wrist in that game, and he's a really important player. So it's been a trifecta of bad news there, but obviously just a huge blunder by Illinois. You don't know exactly who made the mistake here, but someone made a big mistake. And it's a real shame, because it overshadowed what was such a great moment, right? Like, Terrence Shannon Jr., Chicago kid, only at Illinois for 2 years, guys, but to get his banner up there, like, there's really high criteria to get up there. And he technically did not meet it, because he did not get consensus All-America honors because of what was, you know, kind of over him that entire year, the allegations and the arrest for a rape charge and a sexual assault charge that he eventually was acquitted of. But despite that, he sued the school to get back onto the court, and he had one of the best single seasons, I think the best single season in Illinois history. I mean, think of the greats that have been through here, Nick Anderson, Kendall Gill, Darren Williams, and Dee Brown, and Io DeSumo, and Terrence Shannon Jr. set the record for points in a season despite missing 6 games due to the suspension that he sued and got overturned. And he had the best single postseason run I've ever seen from an Illinois player. And, if Illinois would have made a Final Four or a championship game, we would have been up there with like Kemba Walker, who had 6 straight wins in the postseason, Big Ten tournament title, and getting Illinois to the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 for the first time since Darren Dean Luther in 2005. he averaged 31 points a game. It was just one of the most dominant seasons you'll ever see. He was an NBA player playing in college last year. So I just wanted to bring that up because that's what the night was supposed to be for. Yeah. It's a shame that it didn't get talked about as much because of that. Mm-hmm. But he's not playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, he's showing that he belongs at that stage. He's a first-round draft pick. It's just one of the most interesting seasons I've certainly ever covered, given everything that went around it. But on the court, he was just he's one of the best players that ever wore an Illinois uniform.
Jeremy, the banner blunder gets magnified because of the result of the game, I think, in some extent, too. Sure. And I'm curious what you made, of Saturday night for a team that looked so good for the first 12 minutes of the game and so bad for the closing stretch there, and how you interpret what that means for this team in this moment in this season.
Yeah, Dan, it's kind of a microcosm of the season. I mean, they have looked great at certain times, and then other times they look like they can lose to anybody. That's kind of the gamble that Brad Underwood took here. You know, last year he had an old team. Of course, Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins were kind of the two guys there, but he went out and got a bunch of grad transfers that were kind of reliable. It's such a steady team that there were stack wins throughout the year. This team, especially once he's gotten into Big Ten play where it's tough every night, they haven't been able to stack wins. I mean, they had a great early win against Arkansas and Wisconsin, and the win against Missouri is looking great. They crushed Oregon on the road. They crushed Indiana on the road. But ever since then, they've had injuries. They've had illnesses. But still, they just haven't fought through that adversity very well. Even against UCLA, it was a great win for them. They stopped a seven-game winning streak to UCLA. In the closing minutes, UCLA turned a 15-point lead or 15-point deficit into a 2-point deficit. And Illinois almost blew that game, too. So it's just a team that's young. I mean, they're relying on teenagers. Kasper Jakusconis is going to be potentially a top five, top six NBA draft pick. He's 18 years old, so there's still certain things that he's got to learn. Will Riley just turned 19. He's potentially a one-and-done draft pick. For a program that's never had one-and-done draft picks, they had two of them. Rhys Johnson's a freshman, but Tomas Obradovic is playing in his first year of college basketball after coming over from Croatia. So it's a young team, inconsistent team, but it still feels like it hasn't learned from some of its mistakes. And, you know, Brad Underwood, it's been interesting because he's obviously a great coach, guys, and it feels like he's still searching for answers. He's still tinkering with the lineup. We just haven't seen Brad, at least publicly, whether it's in a press conference or on the sideline, we haven't seen him get after his guys as much. I don't know if that's because he's got more grace because it's a younger team, if it's due to the transfer portal area and he wants some guys to stay around. I don't know, but it's an inconsistent team. Like, I think they can bounce back and win tomorrow against a Wisconsin team that's number 11 in the country. But it's just a team that doesn't give you a lot of confidence that they find consistency heading into March. And that's why you think, man, they could be a scary team for a one or two seed in the second round, but they could also get bounced in the first round.
Jeremy, two follow-up questions for you. First and foremost, the loss of Merez Johnson, obviously a big one. I'm curious what you think the ripple effect of that is for the Illini in the short term. And then also, it just feels like from what you described, this is a team that in a different era of college basketball could grow into something special over the course of two or three seasons, but it's not like that anymore with one and dones and the transfer portal and everything else. So what is the timeline for this team, knowing the rapid turnover in the sport these days?
Yeah, the second point's a great one. I'll get to it. But Merez Johnson, he's been the starter the last eight games, three of those because Thomas Rodovicic, who's a really skilled center, probably been the second best player on this team for most of the year behind Jakusconis. He had mono for three games, and Merez got in the lineup. But then they went with a too big lineup, and it hasn't found consistency, but it's given them some toughness. Merez is 6'9", 260. He's a great athlete. He's one of the best offensive rebounders in the country. He's really strong on the defensive glass as well, and he can just be forceful at the rim. Illinois doesn't have a lot of guys that finish well around the rim. He's got one of the best 2-point field goal percentages in the Big Ten. So just a tenacious player, and he's been one of the most consistent guys. So they lose a lot with him. You know, he's averaging about, as a starter, 10 points and six rebounds, but his impact feels bigger than that. Just because of the consistency, and he just gives them some toughness that some of maybe the rest of the roster lack. So without him, they're really smaller. Besides the Vucic, they're going to play Benham Rickhouse, probably more at the four. He's been playing the three here recently. He's 6'9", 225, but then they're going to have to play Trey White a little bit more. And he's barely played. He started the first 22 games, and he's kind of found his way out of the rotation and has only played 1 minute the last three games. And he's a small ball four, potentially, at 6'7", 210. Jake Davis is he's kind of a stretch three, but he might have to play some of the four. So it just makes them more of a skilled team that has to rely on the jump shot, which has been a problem because Illinois jacks up a lot of threes, but they don't make a lot of them. They're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country, even though they were built to shoot. But the second point of this felt like when Brad Underwood reset this roster, and you know he over-recruited Luke Goody, who's now at Indiana, Ty Rogers, who's redshirting this year, Dane Danger, who's at Memphis, and a part of their success this year. He went for talent. But it felt like a two-year build with guys like Kylan Boswell, Vucic, maybe Will Riley, Merez Johnson, that maybe in year two this team could be really, really good. Vucic has been great. Merez Johnson has been great. And those are key pillars you think of that build. But Boswell has not been really inconsistent here recently. He hasn't been as good as I think they think he'd be on offense. And then, Trey White just hasn't even been part of the rotation here recently. So, yeah, I mean, it could be a big gamble by Brett Underwood if he's not able to keep some of these guys. If some of these guys don't hit as well as he thought, because you kind of went in on this year of 2 1-and-done potential guys, Kasper Jackson-Jonas and Will Riley, who I think are going to have a long, good NBA careers, and that's good for your program. But you might not get the results of that on the court. And because those guys are such a big part of it, you might not build on that. So it's kind of the hard part about being a college coach now is you do the Tom Izzo, do you pass on the transfer portal and keep guys which can limit your ceiling, or do you kind of over-recruit guys and they get the best talent, but they might not be here for a long time? I think that's what Brad Underwood's kind of playing with right now.
Yeah, so it really, in that regard, it really piqued my interest, Jeremy, when you mentioned that and I know you weren't going deep on it, but saying that Brad Underwood is not getting after his guys maybe the same as he would in the past. And I do wonder if that has something to do with the transfer portal and having to be a nicer version of oneself when they're a head coach. I mean, you can't really be a yeller, I guess, these days. I mean, you can, but I would think that you have to, everything has to be about that transfer portal now.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure in close practices, when we're not there, that Brad Underwood gets after his guys, and we see that from his players.
Sure.
But it's a little bit different than when Brad Underwood first got here, or even a couple years ago. You can see clips on the internet of Illinois got Michigan State into the bonus. They were in the bonus with 12 minutes left. They shot one free throw the rest of the game. Right, like that's something that teams got to figure out. But if a team can't figure it out, and Brad likes to give his players freedom. But at some point, the coaching guys sit there and go, get to the bleeping rim, right? And force a foul.
Yeah.
And we just didn't hear that. And then the post game, he's saying, hey, we just kind of settled and all those things. But there's other times, like Brad, when I asked him about Tanner Chang's leadership a couple years ago, just did a fart noise and did a microphone. So it's just an observation. Brad probably thinks it's nothing. But it is different, just kind of covering him from where we do. That he hasn't gotten after these guys. I think he's had a little bit more grace because they're young, but he's never coached one and done. He's never coached guys that are going to go to the NBA potentially immediately. And he obviously needs them to go far this year, but it just feels like this team needs a little bit of toughness and a little bit of leadership. And I just don't see it from a lot of the players. So I think it's got to come from the coach.
It's obviously a rough loss Saturday night. It's a rough injury update on Monday. And, oh, by the way, now you've got to go to Wisconsin on Tuesday and then to Madison Square Garden on Saturday to play Duke. It seems like a really challenging week for this group where they're at right now. What do you hope to learn about this team over the next 6 days?
I want to see how they respond to adversity because they didn't do it all that well the last month. Did they learn from that? Right? They had Jackachonis out for a couple games. They responded great and just crushed Penn State on their home court. Then they followed up with a loss to USC. Tomislav Vucic is out of the lineup, and they're able to beat a couple teams. And Tomislav comes back and fights through an ankle injury, and they beat Ohio State, and they beat Minnesota and UCLA. And you're thinking, oh, they might be building something here. So, listen, I get it. The fan base is like, we're giving up on the season. It's not going to go well. I think this kid's got to be tougher than that, right? Like, because you have huge opportunities here. They beat Wisconsin in December. Will Riley wasn't making a big impact at that point. Merez Johnson Jr. was only playing 10, 15 minutes a game. So that's what I want to see from this team is fight through adversity, not making excuses. And that's why sometimes it felt like the head coach is kind of giving them some excuses with the injuries and illnesses. And, hey, we just missed shots. I just want to see some toughness out of them because Duke is way more talented than them, especially without Merez. But if they want to get hot, they got the lottery picks to give Duke a run. But this game on Tuesday, this game tomorrow night at Wisconsin, I think they can win. But they got to bring their A game because Wisconsin's brought their A game for the last 2 months. But it is scary, certainly, what they've been through. But it's also a huge opportunity. Because if Illinois wins one of these games, guys, I don't think they fall lower than an 8 or 9 seed. And they set themselves up to potentially go better than that. But if they only win one of these last 5, you know, they could slip to a 10 seed. I think it's going to be a tournament team. I think they'll win one or two of these games. But they just got to fight through adversity. They can't just have one of these injuries happen again and fold.
Does this feel like, assuming, you know, they get there and they get in the position that they want, does this Illinois team, Jeremy, or do you know at this point if this is the type of team that could do damage in the NCAA tournament?
Oh, they could, Mark. I mean, obviously, they'd be Arkansas, Wisconsin, Missouri, Oregon. I mean, they crush some of these teams that are going to play in the NCAA tournament. They beat Ohio State, they beat UCLA, and were winning by double digits for most of that game. But it's a roll of the dice. That's kind of what it is. Like, if this team gets hot shooting, like Brad Underwood has long thought they would, they were kind of built to be an offensive juggernaut. They just haven't shot it well. But they have a lottery pick in Kasper Kakashonis. A lot of teams don't. That guy can go off for 20-plus at any point and 10 assists at any point. And Will Riley, I don't know how many people have watched him. When he gets on a heater, there's hardly any stopping him. It's just, they need both of those guys to do that because there's just not any consistency otherwise. But you're counting on 18, 19-year-olds to do that. Now with a thinner roster with Merez out, your margin for error gets a little low. But if they find a way to shoot consistently, and for those guys, Will Riley and Kasper Kakashonis, they get hot at the right time, I wouldn't want to be a one-seed or a two-seed playing that team on the second game of the NCAA tournament because I do think they can beat them. But My big question is, can Illinois do that consistently 2 or 3 games in a row? I haven't seen it in a long time.
Jeremy, yours is always the voice that I want to hear when it comes to college basketball and anything going down in Champaign and the Illini. So thanks for getting the juices moving a little bit here with college basketball and the Illini, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you, Mark. And yeah, Illinois people most pumped up about football, so let's talk about that.
Weird place to be at.
Yeah. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us, man. I'm sure we'll hear you soon here on these airwaves. We appreciate the work that you do, man.
Anytime, guys. Thanks,
Jeremy.
That is Jeremy Werner. Did he scratch your Illini itch? He kind of got me excited a little bit. You know, it's like
I don't know if this is an itch that's being scratched right now. Like, this is a wound right now. This is a rough time. For where their season's at. So not real encouraging. Again, with the loss and then the injury and then the prospect of what's coming up for them this week with games at Madison and then at Madison Square Garden.
Who's your team tree? Let me guess.
Grew up a huge Michigan State fan, massive. So that was a great win.
That's why Tree really pushed that one.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, we should get this guy. Yeah.
Totally, we should talk college basketball.
So I have a question for you guys. Obviously, that Terrence Shannon Jr. thing was embarrassing, in the moment. What is more embarrassing, to have that moment happen or to have your statue unveiled like Dwayne Wade and have it be terrible?
Ooh,
what is worse?
Man, that's a good.
It's gotta be the statue because you can turn the banner around.
Oh no, I think the upside down banner is actually worse. It's just like it ruins the whole night, like the whole thing.
Like the statue, you can laugh at it, but when the banner is upside down, it's like, oh, this is embarrassing.
Oh,
and you
can
see in the video, everyone in the background had their face, like their hands covering their face. It was so bad.
Okay, here's a better question: Do we feel bad for the person who did this? Because you know, there's probably one person who did this, or do we think that this person is a complete idiot who should lose his job or her job?
Both.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough mistake to make, and it's one that you probably should figure out beforehand before you put it up there. I've seen at least 24 social media posts over the last 48 hours. Anything dealing with the Illini is being posted upside down now. So this is like something that's going to happen for a while. Pictures, videos, everything's upside down now in my timeline if it has to do with the Illini.
Could you imagine, Dan Wiederer, if something like this happened with the Bears? Like,
I imagine? Yeah. Yeah.
No, of course it's plausible. It's definitely plausible. But can you imagine? It would be, I mean, I If that happened, I think that goes top five right away. If the Bears were to do something in that vein, obviously I don't know what they could hoist upside down at this point.
But. Maybe a timeout in the final stages of a Thanksgiving Day game, right? Like, you know, like, if you're talking about like high profile embarrassments, right? Like, yeah, I can imagine that, Grody. I can.
There's a certain amount of plausibility to that. there certainly is, no doubt about it. Did you grow up rooting for the Illini? Like, did you have a college basketball team growing up?
I kind of bounced around a little bit. My brother is 6 years my senior. He went to Champaign, so that's probably when he went there the year after the Flying Illini of 89. So that's kind of where I was at with that group, and then I obviously went there myself. I don't know. In the 80s, I'm trying to think of who else I would have been rooting for at the time. Obviously, Georgetown was a program that you watch all the time. DePaul, like my dad was a DePaul alumnus in the 80s. They were – damn good. You go over to Rosemont Horizon for a big game with Notre Dame and the place would be rocking.
Oh, yeah. That's the team that I grew up rooting for. I was a massive DePaul fan.
Tyrone Corbin.
Oh, yeah, man.
Kenny Patterson.
Dallas Comedies. You
want
to play that game, huh?
Yeah.
Rod Strickland.
TJ. Tony Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. Tony Jackson. Kenny Patterson. Rod Strickland.
Yeah. David Booth, that might have been David closer Booth. To the early 90s, but David
from
Booth
Peoria,
could shoot it.
Yeah. From Peoria. A little bit undersized, that David Booth.
Thin, like me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of gravitated toward him.
He was a rail, but yes.
He could shoot it.
David Booth was a really good college player.
I didn't think we would land here today.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable being here, though. I mean, Mark Aguirre, Terry Cummings, Dave Corzine.
On Take the North, we call it the cold tub time machine that we take back to various points in life. This is one of those journeys back to... DePaul.
773 texter here. Take the North Nose Illini basketball. Patrick from Gage Park.
There we go.
That's right. We're branching out a little bit here on the Take the North podcast. We're making sure that we spray to all fields, which we're going to continue to do.
Tommy Kleinschmidt.
Oh, man. Tom Kleinschmidt.
Peter Patton.
Oh, man. Peter, the shooting coach for the Chicago Bulls right now is Peter Patton.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Now I feel like Teddy Grubbs. I bet you can't match that. Do you remember Teddy Grubbs?
Give me the years because dad talked a lot about Teddy Grubbs.
Teddy Grubbs was troubled. I don't know.
Yeah, he had a couple arrests, right?
Yeah, I think like, so. I don't think old Teddy lasted. Teddy Grubbs didn't last, but he was like a really good player. But I barely got to see the guy play. Terrence Green. T. Green. Did you mention
Terrence Green? That's a good one. I've got one from a Polaroid picture. It was either a game or a camp with Marty Embry. Remember Marty Embry?
Marty Embry.
There we go.
One of my favorite introduction names for some reason. Marty Embry. Big Marty Embry.
TJ. Tony Jackson.
Oh, yes. Marty Embry, probably, 6'11 or so? Big guy. Big tall guy. I don't think he ever sniffed the NBA, but a big, big man.
Marty Embry.
I didn't realize I could talk about these guys with you, Dan.
D-E-M-O-N-S.
Yeah, or just a simple, we are DePaul. Yes, we are DePaul. But yeah, that was back in the Rosemont Horizon days when, yes, believe it or not, kids, it was actually tough to get a ticket to a DePaul Blue Demons game in this town at one point in time. That's how badly things have gotten for the DePaul.
I think I was probably in early high school. I went and saw Cincinnati play DePaul there on a Saturday night with Nick Van Exel and Corey Blunt running around.
My
like that's
goodness.
That was a premium ticket, right? Like you go in there and you're like, this is going
to
be a good one.
Oh yeah, I mean, we didn't even start to get into some of the later guys like the Quentin Richardson who turned this thing around. Then there was the two other Lance Dixon and Bobby Simmons. I think I got the Lance one wrong. Is it Lance Dixon? Let's just go with that. Lance Dixon was the other DePaul Blue Demon. I'll figure it out during the break. And when we return...
Lance Dixon.
Other than just naming college basketball names?
Just going to make up guys. From Gurnee. Number 12, Lance Dixon.
That does my soul good. When we come back, though, we may have more college basketball fun for you. We're going to dig into the Cubs a little bit. And if you do want to join us here by text or phone, 312-644-6767, along with that man, Dan Wiederer, I am Mark Grody. We are in today for Spiegel and Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's good to have fun with names.
Oh, yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbiziero says you might want to get frequent heart palpitations checked out, but don't freak out right away.
Everybody has skipped beats, whether it's the top or the bottom part of the heart. No one is regular 24/7. What they mean prognostically depends on the patient. A young, healthy patient with a normal heart has some skip beats, premature ventricular contractions that they feel. Significance, very little. Bothersome, we may try to help them out. A different patient that has had open heart surgery, has had heart attacks, their scar, those skip beats may carry a very different significance. They might be at risk for worse problems, and we have to evaluate that.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
DePaul basketball is on the air. How you doing, everybody? Right now, Zach Zabin is listening. He's like, what, huh?
Can you do a Dave Corzine?
Hey, what's going on, Zach? What's going on? I mean, like, on the...
I got a rebound over there. He's got a rebound.
Oh, man, that's good. That's pretty good.
I've done enough DePaul games, and though.
That is good.
His jersey's actually being retired this weekend, so congrats to Dave Corzine.
No, Dave Corzine is a classic DePaul player and a classic Chicago Bulls player, man. Dave Corzine is a bad man. We were actually talking about like DePaul players of the past for some reason. Dan and I got into this conversation. Here it is. You ready? It was the DePaul revival in the 90s, the revival
tour. Late 90s
tour.
Under Pat Kennedy.
That's right. Pat Kennedy, man. Pat Kennedy kind of talks like that, too, actually. Quentin Richardson, Bobby Simmons, and not Lance Dixon, as I said. Lance Williams.
Over the break.
He was the big guy.
Over the break, I just decided that Lance Dixon is now my favorite college basketball player that didn't exist. I think he's like, you know, remember Blue Chips, right? The movie with Western University with Shaq and Penny playing for Nick Nolte. I feel like Lance Dixon was like an opponent that was like assigned to guard Ricky Rowe and make life difficult on him.
That's according to a 773 texter, apparently Lance Dixon was a failed Cubs prospect from 1991.
Yes. Nope. No, he's not. He's a shooting guard from Gurnee who played at DePaul in the late 90s.
Yeah, keep your facts out of this, Robbie. Go away. No, that's so funny because usually I'm pretty good with Cubs busts. That for some reason, Lance Dixon is not hitting me the way it should because I can go 10 deep right now on Cubs busts too if you'd like me to. But I'm going to have to look that up. They may have fallen out of the old memory bank.
Stanley Brundy with a chance for a 3-point play.
Brundy! Oh my God. How about, you mentioned Kleinschmidt.
Andy Laux.
Two guys that I should have gotten. The texters reminded me of old Skip Dillard.
Oh, yeah.
And Clyde Bradshaw, who were both just really, really good shooters. Just good old-fashioned, could hit baskets from anywhere.
Did you get Teddy Grubbs' rap sheet up during the break?
No, I didn't.
Sorry, we'll leave that be.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, like Teddy Grubbs, I think he was... What high school did he go to? What was the big high school that they recruited from? It was Westinghouse. Westinghouse. I believe he went to Westinghouse, where a lot of those DePaul players went. I think Kenny Patterson was out of Westinghouse. Like Westinghouse was a big damn deal back in the day. 847 texter, Grody and Weeds. You guys are a great tandem. Hi, Dan, from Dave Arminetti.
A grade school classmate, Dave Arminetti. Nice to hear from Dave. Hi, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. You call him DA? Yo, what's up, DA?
Called him Armo on the playground.
Armo? Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. The name did sound familiar. I thought he was a pizza guy, maybe.
No, they were in the liquor business.
Yeah.
Oh. Arminetti Liquors.
Oh. Bernard Randolph. Do you remember Bernard Randolph? I also mentioned Kevin Edwards during the break.
Oh, that's a good one.
Just a really good shooter.
He was a good player. Played in the league for a while,
right? He did
play
in the league, yeah. I want to say like Utah or something.
One of those guys where you're like, he could play in the pros for a little bit and then plays longer than you think he would.
Because he could. I think he might have played for 10 years, I think.
With the Heat for a while, I think.
Because the shooting never goes out of style in the NBA. It just does not.
Howard Nathan, remember that one?
Howard Nathan. Stephen Hunter.
Who? Remember that night when Lance Dixon went off for like 26 against St. John's?
Just,
like Lou Carnesecca had no answers
for Lance Dixon. Oh,
I don't even know when Lou Carnesecca
was on the call for that.
Yeah, for sure he was. Hey, Dixon for three.
Nobody
could with the kiss.
Nobody was better at defending Lance Dixon than Digger Phelps back in the day. Oh yeah,
big
man.
Time, yeah.
That is for sure. Well, we'll keep this going. We see you, text line. I see you. We got it all. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to play our random DePaul players game here. While we talk a little bit about the Chicago Cubs, and I think that the question is, and you guys can play along with us too here, Dan, but I want to ask you and that you and I can discuss here at 312-644-6767 is the number on the Chicago Cubs. Did the Chicago Cubs, have they done enough in this offseason to make you feel like what seems to be most people predicting that the Cubs at least win the Central this year, that kind of by default, that Milwaukee feels like it's finally taken a real step back. Same with St. Louis. Pittsburgh, I have no idea. Cincinnati, I have no idea. They seem to have taken a step back to the Reds when it looked like they were on the come. But Dan, do you think that the Cubs have done enough in this offseason to make you feel good about the team this year and actually winning and winning in the playoffs?
There's some recency bias with last year because you felt like that team, particularly with the way they played early on in the year, would be climbing, and then they fell off, right, Grody? And they just never got themselves into a position where they were playing baseball at the highest level to be rolling. And so I'm just sort of wait and see with this team because I don't know. What are you going to do with the rotation? If you feel good about the top, right, with Imanaga, Steele, Tyon, can that group stay healthy? Can you weather the inevitable injuries to the starting rotation and how many of your guys are going to reach peak performance?
Right. It is. I describe the Cubs right now as good and definitely good enough to win the division for sure. But in terms of the way I look at the Cubs, can they win playoff games? Can they get to a World Series? Can they sustain this success? Can it be a real team that has lasting power? Right at this very moment, the Cubs are fragile. That's just what they are. Like there are pieces in place for sure, like good pieces. Like Kyle Tucker is obviously a really good piece. Just going around the outfield, like PCA, he started to get really good towards the end of last year, so I'm interested. Happ, you know what you're going to get out of him. He's going to hit decently, and he's probably going to win a Gold Glove in left field. Bush, Horner, Dansby, all competent, good players. Matt Shaw, who knows, at third base. We could talk about him a little bit. And then obviously Miguel Amaya. What this does, though, Dan, because you don't have the big star power except for Kyle Tucker, what it does is it puts those guys, those starting pitchers you mentioned, on alert. It's high stress now. They have to be good. You mentioned Justin Steele, who I have no, like, he's going to be good. I was wrong once about him, and I'm not going to do it again. No issues with Justin Steele. You do have to wonder about Shota Imanaga and whether he is going to be you need good out of him still. You know what I mean? You cannot have
really good out of him.
Yeah, yes. You still, and I understand you're not going to have the start that he had last year. The start was tremendous. Tyone scares me a little bit.
Should, right?
Because he's kind of an every other year guy. He was good last year. He's a professional pitcher, but this is the way the Cubs are built right now. It's fragile. What are you going to get out of Matthew Boyd? I mean, professional veteran starting pitcher. And then you have Assad, you have Wicks, you have Ben Brown, none of whom I really know, except for Assad. Like, I feel pretty comfortable that Assad is quality.
Yeah, is he your number five to start
That's a great question. That's a great question. I mean, I know he was injured a little bit earlier in the spring training, but yeah, you got to look at Wicks, too, just because he was a first-round pick of this regime. So you do have to consider that possibility. And then I'm very interested in Ben Brown. I think Ben Brown ultimately, to me, felt like more value in the bullpen just based on what I saw him do last year. And obviously he can start and be really good at it at times if you need it in a pinch. But I think he belongs in the bullpen. And the bullpen, I got to tell you, Dan, I'm kind of excited about the Cubs' bullpen this year. And, you know, bullpens could always implode, but bringing in Ryan Presley, you do have a real-ass closer this year after the Hector Neris-Alzolay thing imploded. Julian Merriweather is back. Now, I know he's been down essentially for a year plus, right? But that's a good product if he's healthy and he's good. Porter Hodge started to look really good towards the end of the season last year. Even Keegan Thompson started to make something of himself. So I'm good with that bullpen, too. But it's just everything just feels so fragile right now.
Fragile is a good word. And when you say that word, you think of the middle infield, too, and like the health of Nico and Dansby. And are those guys going to be who they need to be for you to be a championship-level baseball team, you know? And so that's why, I mean, like, I get it. We do this with the Bears all the time. We play best-case scenarios, and people latch onto that, and then there's something like five rungs down the ladder that's more realistic, and the Cubs just feel like a team that's going to be hanging around, you know, 80 to 84 wins, and it just feels kind of Groundhog Day, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're doing it again. They're 83 and 79, I think.
Two years in a row, right?
Exact same record, two straight years. It does have that feeling unless you get that boost from, you know, PCA. If, like, you don't know if he is going to sprout, will Swanson get back to where he was when the Cubs first signed him? And I know there was injury issues last year, but when he was first signed by the Cubs, he came out scalding for, you know, half to three-fourths of the season. I said he was the best player on the team when he came up, and it just seems like there's been regression, and I get it, some of it injury-wise. I'm excited, though, about Michael Bush and what he does for an encore this year. After something of a surprising year last year when the Cubs gave him a chance to play first base every day, I do wonder what he'll do. Like, some people say, oh, he's probably going to regress. I actually think Michael Bush can get even better. That might be a sneaky good product on your team.
Could be.
Yeah. That's the fragility.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so then what's the depth, right? Like, say Michael Bush is out for 2-3 weeks? Like, who's playing first base for you? You know, where's your depth at catcher? I mean, obviously you've got Gomes still around, and
now you know
Nicky Lopez is around now for you. Like where are your depth pieces?
Yeah.
The guys that can help turn
depth.
6 or 8 games into wins.
Yeah, there's depth. It's just not like the strong depth, the depth that you feel comfortable with. Let's ask the question to people. Have the Cubs fans out there? You've been keeping up. You've been listening. You know that a lot of the national pundits are saying that, yes, and it is really relative to the division, that the Cubs are suited to win this division. Do you feel like the Cubs had a good offseason or having a good offseason? Have they done enough for you? 312-644-6767 is the number. If you want to jump in on here and talk Cubs baseball, I'm Mark Grody along with Dan Wiederer in for the guys for Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Afternoons on The Score.
Welcome back in. Mark Grody, Dan Wiederer. In today for Matt and Lawrence here on The Score. 312-644-6767. We're talking about the Cubs and asking you the question, have they done enough for your liking in this offseason? But first, bring me Derek in St. Charles. What's up, Derek?
Hello? Hey, Grody. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Derek, how are you, man?
Let me get back to a question for you in just a second. Let me ask Dan there, because he was saying that Minnesota is a lot colder, and I argue with that because I dated a girl who lived in La Crosse, Wisconsin, which is right across from La Crescent, Wisconsin, or Minnesota.
There's no La Crescent.
There's no such thing?
I don't think so. La Crosse and La Crescent?
La Crescent is in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Okay. La Crosse, La Crescent.
But I mean, I'm just saying that Minnesota's temperatures are not that different from Illinois.
Mm. Doesn't Minnesota typically start with 3 or 4 feet of snow that was a base?
This is where I was going to go, and this is what I've told people forever. Winter starts in Minnesota like 3.5 weeks earlier than it starts in Chicago, and it ends 3.5 weeks later than it is in Chicago. So that's 7 weeks of your life that you're spending in winter more than you are in Chicago. I was also, when the year my son was born, in May, we had like 8 inches of snow on like May 4th. We could get the almanac out and double check that one again.
Yeah.
But I remember being in the driveway with my snowblower on like May 4th and being like, not cool. not going to be a long-term stop for me. Love Minneapolis. Love everything about the Twin Cities. The weather, soul-crushing.
Not cool. Derek, you still there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm still here. Fair enough.
Okay.
I was just going to say, Mark,
yeah.
Thank you to your colleague, Gabe Ramirez, for allowing me to apologize to you for causing a problem when I went to the VIP only section, which I didn't know about.
Oh my God. That was like 2 years ago, right?
Ramblin' Grimace.
It's Ramblin' Grimace. I think I'm the only one here who knows who you are, Ramblin' Grimace. I don't think Dan or Robbie knows about the legend.
I didn't feel comfortable introducing myself to your producer as that, because they usually hang up on me if I say that. So
I would have wanted you to come on even more.
That's right. You came in the VIP area. Were you removed? I think you were removed. Am I wrong? Because God, I'm getting it all conflated here. It was at the anniversary. You got me in trouble. That's what happened.
But like I said, you shouldn't have gotten in trouble for that, because it wasn't clearly marked as a VIP area, you know?
Yeah, this is something you got to take up with Mitch Rosen. Guys, this was at the anniversary special for The Score out in Elk Grove.
I will message Mitch and tell him that he should let you off the hook for that.
You're like, you used me, man. You're like, who's the guy at The Score that I could get to? I bet Grody will get me in the VIP. And then I did. And I think,
Did I not?
You did. I got to meet Layla and
yes,
Dan.
Yes, yes.
So it worked out all great.
Yes. I was introducing you to people, and then all of a sudden, Mitch sees you. He goes, oh, no, 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 not this guy again. Who let you out here? And then you're like, Grody. It's like, Grody? What's Grody doing letting you outside?
Yes, you're exactly right.
Yeah, yep, yep. Well, this is this has been great. Grimace, you're the best, man. And feel free, look, when you call, just say it's Grimace. No, it's all good. It's all okay. I don't know who will put you through or won't, but
hey, if you say so, let your producers know that I'll introduce myself as Grimace, but right now I'm thinking Derek is probably the safest way to get on the air.
No, say Grimace. I will pass the word to my fellow producers, and let's make sure you have a password so like we know it's actually you.
Okay, what's the password?
That's up to you.
It's got to be 14 digits. You got to have a symbol in there, a capital letter.
Here, how about you? When I put you on hold, I'll ask for your password, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Grimace, is that it, buddy? You all good, man? You still dating that girl in lacrosse or no?
No, with the girl in lacrosse I broke up with 20-something years ago.
Oh, wow. So. Power move on your part. Yep. Good job, Grimace. Talk to you later, buddy. Boy.
Do you remember the night in November of 96 when Lance Dixon went on the road to...
Get the hell out of here!
Went on the road to the University of Minnesota La Crescent and had 7 turnovers at UM La Crescent?
Yeah, yes. UM... Oh, man. How about maybe Rich will get us back on track here a little bit. Oh, man, it's holiday calls. I got to tell you, I bring them out. It's the holiday, and it's me. Let's go to Rich. Actually, you brought Grimace out, though. Rich in LaGrange. What up, Rich? Richie, Rich.
Richie there.
What?
This is the real Grimace.
Oh, this is the real Grimace.
This is password Chicago Bears 6-7.
What's going on, Rich?
Not too much. Can you hear me okay?
Well, I get loud and clear, my friend.
Okay, I was going to talk about the Cubbies for a minute.
Yeah, Bears.
And the Bears.
Yeah.
First, I wanted to say, what do you think of the Bregman thing? I'm kind of glad they didn't get him. That was just too much
money. Feel deflated by that, really. Like, I get, like, and that's part of the purpose of the topic that we're doing. Did they do it enough? And I get it's very easy to say, like, well, they didn't get Bregman. I mean, it wasn't enough before. It just felt that was so deflating. But carry on, my friend.
I really think they should pick up a couple guys like Justin Turner. I think would be a good backup for first and third. He's still got a little bit left in the bat. Is JD Martinez still available, or is he?
I don't know.
I'm throwing the old guys out there. But.
Yeah, no, I got you. Like there's still a little something in there for sure. How old is Turner? Seriously, he's got to be close 40? To 40. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that feels like I'd feel. You're right. That's a good backup spot, but that feels like a guy that's like a pile on guy. You know what I mean? Like if you were, you know, to have gotten a big ticket item like Bregman, that would have felt good to add him as well. But at this point, I don't know.
Correct. Starting pitching, you think we have enough?
Well, I think there's enough, but like I said, it's like anybody goes down,
yeah,
and I guess that's the same in any rotation, I suppose. It just feels fragile, but I love Steele, Shota, Tyone, and quite frankly, Assad better than Boyd.
Yes, sir.
All right, Derek. Or Rich. There goes Rich. Rich, thanks, buddy. Got to get the password for
Rich.
We're
so close to opening day, too, with this whole Tokyo trip. I was trying to figure this out earlier. Tree was doing his best to verse me on this. Like, the Cubs will go play 2 regular season games, but then what do they do when they get back? There's, like, 8-9 more days of spring training going on. And
I believe,
like,
they do go back to Arizona.
Yeah,
back to the A's. Yeah.
I would want to stay in my bed.
It's a very strange beginning to.
Yeah, that might throw things out of whack a little bit. Yeah, I'm sure that will be discussed. Isn't there a game this weekend on these airwaves? A Cubs spring training game?
Yes, they open up spring training on Friday. Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Sweet.
Lance Dixon bobblehead night.
Oh. Lord, Lance Dixon. And what was the name of the town that he made up, too?
La Crescent.
La Crescent. Yeah.
That was actually real. We found it.
I believe it.
We found it on a map.
I have the password, by the way, but I can't say it.
You got the password. No, okay, here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do when we come back. We'll talk about the Bears because we are the Take the North podcast. We are Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer. So we will get back to talking about Bears. It's President's Day. So maybe Kevin Warren's name will be used in the 5 o'clock hour. We are talking Bears next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.